first scripture reading is Psalm 91, verses 9 through 16, found on page 518 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bible up on the screen, or on page 674 in the large print Bible. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge can come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample under your foot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's time for our gospel lesson. The gospel is the word of God in the midst of the people of God. And we honor that by standing, that we might hear God. If you are capable and comfortable standing, I invite you to do so. This is the Gospel of Mark, beginning with the 35th verse. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life in a ransom for many." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. So now you know why I named it Sea Monsters. You already have the sermon title figured out. You got the picture figured out, and you know where we're going. So now you have all the answers for everything. I have a question for you, though. Why are there so many different denominations? I have heard an estimate that there are between 30 and 60,000 Christian denominations. That's more than one. That's a pretty good handful. There are Catholic Christians, there are Lutheran Christians, there's Presbyterian Christians, there's Episcopalian Christians, Church of Christ Christians, Baptist Christians, Adventist Christians, Mormon Christians. Should I go all 30,000 or are you good for there? I contend that if we had maintained our humility, we would not have split. Started out with Peter, the big fisherman. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And so Peter is considered to be the first pope of that first church, the Roman church based in Rome, and leading the body. And there was division even then because John was kind of leading a group. And then Paul took off and he was doing his wild and crazy evangelism stuff all over the countryside. So it was mayhem. Jesus probably had that figured out. That's why he did communion the way he did it. Say, "Let's come back to the basics and come back to my body, my blood." But the church stayed kind of associated with the Roman Catholic Church for about the first 1,000 years. 1054, the Greek Orthodox split off. Do you know the Greek Orthodox? You know, they're the priests with the black, I don't know what the anything about them really, but the black outfits, and they have the cleric and they cross and the black hood thing, and they usually have beards. Black beards, not gray beards. That split divided Eastern from Western Christianity. Then about another 500 years, the Western Church held pretty much together. Along came a fellow by the name of Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther. He was a priest. He was a Catholic priest. But the church had gotten arrogant and powerful and corrupt. Now, I'm talking about the medieval Roman Catholic Church. I think there's a big distinction between that church and the church that is doing good mission work today. But at any rate, Martin Luther said that this is wrong. I'm going to split off from it. Or reform it is what he really wanted to do. He wanted to change the church. He wanted to talk with the Pope and get things straightened out. Well, that didn't quite happen. So he split off. This Luther started a group called the Lutherans. Within about 50 years, there were 75 different denominations. Anabaptists, Baptists, Calvinists, all these different groups all splitting off. And not long after that, about 15, 20 years later, Henry VIII, who was happily Roman Catholic at the time, said to the Pope, I want a divorce. The Pope said no, and he says, okay, well, I'm cutting from the Roman Church, and I'm going to start my own church here in England, and it will be the Church of England, and I will be the head of the church, and I'm going to divorce. And that's where the Anglican Church came from. And out of that Anglican Church, there was an Anglican priest by the name of John Wesley. You've heard of him and his crazy brother Charles and this strange method they had of worshiping. And that's how Methodists came to be. You just figured out some of your heritage, didn't you? Scary heritage. Good heritage, but all of these divisions, and a lot of them were around power and struggles and giving up power and trying to reform things. And it goes right back to the time with Jesus. Here are the two brothers, James and John. They're sons of Zebedee. Grant us to sit one at your right and one of your left in your glory. They could see the movement that was happening. Jesus, people were following him. It was becoming a major movement, and they knew it. And they had assumed this would be a revolt. They would overthrow Rome. They would become their own nation, and Jesus would be the head of it. They wanted to be the lieutenants. They wanted to be numero uno and numero dos in the new kingdom of leadership and all that power. Boy, the other 10 were upset when they heard about that. Kind of embarrassing that they were saying, we want to be over all the other 10. We want to be the best ones. In fact, this is Mark's account of the event. Luke doesn't talk about it. John, of course not. But when Matthew tells the story, it's so embarrassing that he says, oh, it wasn't James and John that asked. It was their mother that asked. But if you read the script and read the text in Matthew, Jesus doesn't respond to the mother. He responds to James and John. You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Oh, sure, Lord, yeah. They didn't have a clue. They didn't know what they were up about. They didn't know what was happening. They just were thinking about power and control and esteem and authority. When I read Psalm 91, I contemplated that a little bit. Because you have made, Krista did a great job, but I'm going to just come back to it for a second here. Because you've made the Lord your refuge, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. You will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent. Now, I explained to the kids, I hope you were paying attention. Were any of you napping during that period of time? Well, that bunch, you dare not ever nap, right, Stephanie? You got to keep right awake and keep right on track with. But the leviathans in the ocean, the serpents, that's the word that's used there. The serpent word is the one for sea monsters. for the creatures, the scary, the horrible, huge, frightening things. And Psalm says that you will be able to put them under your foot. It's a sign of being in charge of them. A young lion, the fiercest and most terrifying and powerful, and you are in charge of that lion. You are in charge of the sea serpent. That serpent doesn't look quite as frightening on the cover of the bulletin, does it? I think he has a smile on his face. Do you wonder what they think, whales? Don't go there. Stick with the sermon. Stay with me. Do you remember that phrase that you just heard? You will not dash your foot against a stone. Some of you that might have read some other parts of the Bible, read other things, had a little bit of history, maybe listened to a few sermons, you might think that sounds familiar to me. Here's Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and following. The tempter took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." That's the quote. That's straight out of that psalm. That's the reflection that's coming. If you really believe in all of that, then do this and test God. And Jesus responds wisely. He says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." He knows he's being tempted. He's preparing to do his life ministry. He's facing all the temptations. And one of them is power, invulnerability, authority. Those all fit into those temptations that he faces and he refuses to succumb to. He is not seduced. So here's James and John. Here they are. They've become seduced with the possibility of power. They're ready. Let us sit at your right and left hands. Let us be the ones in charge right under you. You're still the boss, but we can handle everybody else. Just give us the nod. And they failed to comprehend. All the disciples failed to comprehend what Jesus was about in that gathering, why he had come and what he was about. And he tells them plainly, and he tells us, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Yeah, we know the rest of the story. We've read the rest of the account. We know that Jesus will be arrested and humiliated, tortured, suffer, and die. And that is the cup he had to drink. That's the cup he willingly drank for us. That is what he gave his life for us. An atonement for us. That gift of the Christ. "Are you able to drink the cup that I am able to drink?" And the disciples, the James and John, said, "Oh, sure, Lord, I'm sure, it's no sweat. You just guide us. We're good for it." They don't see it. They don't understand. They don't comprehend it. And sometimes I am afraid that our churches don't either. We fail to realize that we're not the privileged Christians of Christ because we are faithful in our attendance, in our membership, in our tithing, in our gifts. We want to walk a little bit straighter and prouder because we're members of the churches. And yet we need to remember that as those people, we are the servants of all. Go back to Psalm 91. Make the Lord your refuge. Put God first. Make God the very beginning of your day. There's that old joke, you've heard that. Some people get out of bed in the morning, let me get it right now, and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Others get out of bed and say, "Good morning, Lord." Yeah. That's how we got to be about it. Putting God first, starting the day with God, and keeping God in the middle of it. I'm getting off track here, but bear with me for 1 minute. Was in a store, and there was a guy that was arguing about, he had gone to a store and he bought something, and it was clear across town, but is a chain of stores. And he says, but he wanted to return it at this store because it was a long way to that other store across town. And the guy says, well, you didn't buy it here. No, but the state, it's a chain, isn't it? And he says, well, we're all independently owned stores. But the name on the top of the receipt is the name that is on your business. And he was just adamant. It was a $2 or $3 receipt. And he just pushed it, and the owner said, fine. And by the time that guy left, everybody in the store was just gritting their teeth, just... And I thought, $2 or $3, this guy does not have the power over us to put us in that mood. Let him go. Smile and wave and say, I'm glad you got your money, friend. I hope your day goes better. We're not to be served. We're not a priority. We're not somebody better than and aloof and have to look down on others. We are those that will say, whatever you need, friend. Servant to each other. Servant to one another. Servants to our Lord. Put God first. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. Not easy to hear, but it's part of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.